Lingit sa nakakaalam ng karamihan, I grew up in a household that loves telenovelas. Mahilig po kami. In the mid-1990s, meron kaming tinutukan na pamilya isang Tagalog-dubbed Mexican telenovela na kilalang kilala sa buong Pilipinas. Ito ay istorya ng isang inosente at mahirap na babae na taga-dagat na na-fall in love sa isang anak na hasyendero. Di nagtagal sila ay nagkakilala at nagkainlaban at nagpakasal. Kahit ayaw ng kanyang mother-in-law. At dito po umikot ang storya. Nagkaroon ng pag-aapi sa storya, gantihan, traiduran, at umuwi rin na sila rin ang nagkatuluyan. Love stories. Every culture has one. Every culture loves them. What makes love stories appealing to our affections? Appealing to our desire for love. To receive love and to give love. Well, friends, it's because God, in His kindness, has designed us to desire love, to give love, and to receive love. This also points to our Creator's greatest love para sa ating lahat. And so, we are starting a 4-week series on the book of Ruth. It is also a love story. It is a Hebrew love story. However, ang book of Ruth is more than a human love story. It is a story about God's unfailing love towards His people. At yun po ang magiging short series natin for the month of November. To give you a little background about the book, ang book of Ruth po ay isa sa maiksing libro na mayroon lamang 4 na chapters. It is one of the 2 books that was named after a woman. Yung isa ko ay pangalan ay Esther. At ito ay nag-iisang Old Testament book na pinangalan lamang sa isang babae na hindi Hudyo. Siya ay isang Hintil. Walang nabanggit kung sino nagsulat ng libro na ito at kailan ito isinulat. Some believe that it was written probably after David's coronation as the king of Israel because he was mentioned in chapter 4, verse 17. And his genealogy was also seen in chapter 4, verse 18 hanggang 22. The book of Ruth is a book about love, kindness, devotion, redemption, sa loob ng dark context ng panahon ng Judges. This book highlights how God's people experience His sovereignty, His wisdom, His covenant kindness. This often comes in disguise in hard circumstances and are mediated through the kindness and mercy of other people. Mga kaibigan, it is my prayer ngayong hapon na ito, as we go through this passage, is that we would learn to trust and cling to God even in dark situations. Because sin has tragic consequences. But God extends His kindness to the undeserving. We have only 2 points sa hapon na ito. Unang-una, the situation, verses 1 to 5. And number 2, the responses, verses 6 hanggang 22. Let's start with the situation. Ano ba ang nangyayari sa storya na ito? Let me read to you verses 1 hanggang 5. And I'm reading from the ESV. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife is Naomi, and the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from the Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. Verse 4, this took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other is Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Ang panahon po ng Judges na nabanggit dyan sa verse 1 ay nagsisimula sa pagkamatay ni Josue o ni Joshua. At hanggang nagtutuloy po ito hanggang sa time na kinoronahan si Saul, ang unang hari ng Israel. The time of the Judges was a dark period. Ito'y panahon ng apostasya o yung mga panahon na kunsaan ang mga anak ng Diyos ay tumalikod sa Kanya. Laganap ang tribal at saka civil wars. Talamak ang karahasan. Hindi makita ang pagkabulok ng moralidad ng sanbayanan. Meron din tinatawag na anarkiya na ang ibig sabihin ang mga tao ay walang kinikilalang otoridad. Ayon nga sa Judges chapter 17, verse 6, in those days there were no king in Israel. And listen to this. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Kung ano sa tingin nila ang tama sa paningin nila, yun ang gagawin nila. At talagang guluho yun. At sa kalagitnaan ng mga kaguluhan at kawalang kapayapaan, nagkaroon ng taggutom sa land ng Judah or famine. It was a national calamity. Many believe that it was caused by a natural occurrence. Could be a drought of some sort. There was, and because of that, there was a shortage of food. Dandan po nauubos ang supply, so pagkain ng mga tao. From this dark setting, the author now zeroes in sa isang mama. Anong pangalan niya ay si Elimelech, na tiga Bethlehem of Judah. Now, dahil sa food shortage sa kanilang lugar, nagpasya siyang umalis kasama ang kanyang pamilya at pansamantalang nanirahan sa banyagang bansa upang makipagsapalaran para lamang makahanap ng pangsuporta sa kanyang pamilya. Now, this sounds sensible tsaka practical. Pero there is a lot to this than just living in a foreign land para suportahan ang pangangailangan ng kanyang pamilya. He, Elimelech, and his family were deliberately rebelling against God sa ginawa nilang yon. They were. At sa paanong paraan, Pastor? Well, una-una, sa halip na kilalanin nila ang famine ay God's judgment for Israel's disobedience, ano pong ginawa nila? Imbis nagrepent, tinakasan po nila yung consequences sa pangyayari ng lugar na ito and fled to a foreign land. Another way sila nagrebelde sa Panginoon is by looking at other means to provide for their needs. Ang ibig sabihin po ng Bethlehem ay house of bread or house of food. God's presence was distinctively in the land. Minarkahan ng Diyos. This is where the Lord promised them that He will meet with them. This is the place that the Lord promised them that He will provide for them. This is the place where God promised them that He will take care of them. And so this man and his family decided to leave the house of bread to look for bread from some other source. Ironically, ang pangalan po na Elimelech means God is my king. Pero ang desisyon niyang umalis sa lugar na ito at naghanap ng ibang paraan ng pagkukunan ng provision leads us to doubt if God really is his king. Sa sitwasyong ito, he has taken matters in his own hands. Third reason kung bakit siya nagrebelde sa pag-alis. And to make things worse, ang pinili po niyang lugar ay Moab. Now, ano ba ang Moab? Moab na kung saan, the very place and people, the Moabites, na kung saan inutos ni Yahweh na huwag makipamatok at huwag makipag-ugnayan sa mga tao ho dito. Dahil sila ay kaaway ng Diyos. And you can look it up sa Deuteronomy chapter 23 at saka Numbers chapter 21 in your free time. Pero despite na ang move na ito ay displeasing sa Panginoon, tinuloy pa rin ni Elimelech yung kanyang hangarin. Kasama ang asawa niyang si Naomi at ang dalawang anak niyang lalaki na si Mahlon at si Chilion. Sa dahilan na maganda at mataba ang lupain dito sa Moab, sagana ang wheat at saka barley, thinking na mapoprovidean kami ang aming pamilya sa napakadaming taon. Mga kaibigan, familiar ba sa atin ang sitwasyon na ito? Bakit pamilya? Let me reiterate. Hindi ba dahil sa sitwasyon natin sa ating bansa tayo ay nagpasya umalis din at pansamantalang nanirahan sa banyagang bansa upang makipagsapalaran para lamang masuporta ng ating pamilya o magkaroon ng maginhawang kinabukasan? Kung ikaw po ito, then meron po kayong marangal na hangarin. But, if we say that God is my King, the ultimate provider para sa aming family, my question for us this afternoon, friends, are you looking for other means to provide for your family? At hindi si Yahweh ang pinupuntahan natin? Are you engaging in sinful dealings dito sa Dubai in order to provide for your family's needs? Let me give a hard question. Gusto ba talaga ng Panginoon na pumunta ka dito sa Dubai? Or, gusto nga ba ng Panginoon manatili ka dito sa Dubai? Are we trusting in our own means and not the Lord? Nung nanirahan na sila sa Moab, yung pamilya ni Elimelech, ang marangal na plano ni Elimelech is to provide for his family, to secure his family's future. However, itong mga plano na to was thwarted or were thwarted kasi siya'y namatay. So in short, hindi natuloy yung mga hangarin niya. Si Naomi ay nabalo at naiwan sa kanya ang kanyang dalawang anak na lalaki. Hindi nagtagal, natabunan ng ang kalungkutan ni Naomi ng kasiyahan at pag-asa. At anong tumabon huron? Well, kinasalan dalawa niyang anak. Dalawa niyang anak na lalaki ay kinasal sa mga Moabite na babae, na ang pangalan ay si Orpha at si Ruth. Marriage is a time of joy. Marriage is a time of celebration. And as itong mga events na to ay nangyari sa buhay ni Naomi, probably is she is slowly getting excited sa future, biglang nagkaroon ulit ng hope. Marriage brings happiness and joy, and pag kinasal na ang mga taong ito, there is a potential to have grandchildren, which will also provide even more joy. So the future is starting to get a little bit brighter, is what she thinks. Ngunit pagkalipas ng 10 taon, hindi ito ang kinahantungan. Pumanaw si Mahlon at si Chilion, at walang iniwang mga anak sa kanilang mga baba, sa mga kanilang mga asawa. So what's interesting ay yung kahulugan ng mga pangalan nila. Ang ibig sabihin po ng Mahlon ay sickness or sickly o may sakit o sakitin. Samantala ang Chilion naman means frailty or mahina, marupok. So I think both of them lived according to their names. Maaring isa nagkasakit, namatay. Maaring isa mahina ang pangatawan, bumigay. So we do not know. Ang sitwasyon ni Naomi turned from bad to worse. In this dark, hopeless, depressing, desperate situation, how did Naomi and her daughter-in-laws respond? That is the question. Paano nila hinarap ito? How did they respond to this? Friends, how would you respond if you are in a deep, dark, desperate, depressing situation? How would you respond? Let's look at yung point number two. Responses. Tingnan natin kung paano nag-response ang mga balo na ito. We will see two types of responses sa situation na kinaharap ng tatlong balo na ito. Una, we will see response ng act of kindness. At pangalawa, harboring bitterness. Well, first of all, let's talk about acts of kindness. Mapapansin po natin dito sa verses 6 to 19, na sa kalagitnaan ng mabigat na sirkumstansya, ang ating mga karakter sa storya has displayed, at least in part, certain acts of kindness towards one another. Isa-isahin po natin yung tatlong karakter. Umpisahan po natin kay Naomi. Verses 6 to 13. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she sat out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return, each of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to our people." But Naomi says, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they're grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Bigat, no? Kung palabas ko, kung telenovela ito, parang ang bigat ho ng music, at dahan-dahan zino-zoom kay Naomi sa mukha niya, at yung passion niya, at yung luha nagbabagsakan. So sa verse 6 to 7, nabalita ni Naomi na sa land ng Moab, na tapos na yung famine sa Judah. Nabalita, wala nang famine, wala nang taggutom sa Judah. Sabi dyan, "The Lord has visited His people and given them food." God probably provided rain. And if there is rain, nadiligan ang mga pananim. At kung may pananim, may pagkain. Judah ay may pagkain. Mayroon ng pagkain sa Judah ng sapat na stocks para sa mga tao ng taga doon. God provided food for His people. Now friends, let me pause to remind us that God still does that today. What do I mean by that? He still provides food for His people. He is the one who stocks food on your shelves and in your refrigerators. Siya ang naglalagay po noon. He is the one who will provide food sa mga pamilya niyo sa Pilipinas. He is the one who will provide food and supplies and everything that we need because He's a gracious God. He still does this. Huwag nating kalimutan ito. He is the ultimate source of provision. Whether yung means na ito is through our jobs or someone else's benevolence. Huwag tayong mag-alala na tayo'y magkukulang. Minsan kasi, natataranta na tayo pag parating na yung bill, natataranta na tayo pag medyo tumaas yung gasto sa atin this week, nagpa-pressure tayo, and I can totally understand that. But we need to understand, it is the Lord who is sovereign over all. Alam niya kung ano sinisweldo niyo? Alam niya kung ano yung mga kailangan bayaran? At huwag tayong makalimot magpasalamat sa faithful provisions niya. So dalawa po yan, huwag tayong mag-alala. At huwag tayong makalimot magpasalamat. Yung isa, madalas natin maalala mag-alala. Yung pangalawa, nakakalimutan natin, magpasalamat. Baliktarin po natin. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for the food? Oh, Pastor, that's a regular thing for me and my family. Hey, could you take it in a sense, in a different way? Alam ko, sometimes we teach our children sa prayer natin sa food, and that is a wonderful thing. but try to help them think through how to pray sa pagkain in their own words, hindi yung galing sa inyo. Because it is indeed galing sa kamay ng Panginoon at dapat magpasalamat tayo. Everything, Lord, thank you sa itlog. Lord, thank you sa hotdog. Lord, thank you sa mga cereal at gatas. Lord, salamat yung mga hindi ko nakakain sa Pilipinas, nakakain ko rito. Lord, yung mga hindi nila nakakain, napapadala ko, thank you. Thank you. Be thankful. Now, alam ni Naomi na hindi siya ligtas kung mananatili siya sa region ng foreign land na ito. Without provisions or protection in a male-dominated society. So, nagpasya siya na bumalik sa Judah at sinama niya sina Orpha at saka Ruth. Pero sa verse 8, somewhere along the road na papunta sa Judah, maring nag-stop over siguro sila para magpahinga, o kaya naman nag-camp out dahil nga 7 to 10 days ang biyahe papunta ron, nagkaroon si Naomi ng change of heart. Tulad ng isang mapagmahal at mapagmalasakit na ina, marahil na pagtanto niya na hindi magiging maganda ang kalagayan ng kanyang mga manugang kung isasama niya mismo sa Judah. Isipin niyo, dalawang balo na tiga Moab. Marahil mamaltratuhin ito mga babae na ito dahil sila ay kaaway na lahi. And there is a slim chance of them getting married and having children. And so she had a change of mind. So in her kindness, pinabalik niya ang kanyang mga manugang sa Moab sa kanilang mga magulang and prayed na makapangasawa sila muli, na guminhawa ang kanilang buhay, magkaroon sila ng mga anak. She also prayed that the Lord would show kindness sa kanilang dalawa the way they have shown kindness sa kanyang mga anak at sa kanya. Niyakap niya ang mga at hinalikan ng itong mga babae na ito bilang sinyales ng papaalam na siya. At nagsimula na silang mag-iyakan. Nag-iyakan. Do you see yung drama na nangyayari dito? Sige na, anak, doon na kayo. Hindi. I can visualize and hear yung sinasabi ni Orpha at Naomi rito. As they protest, hindi ka namin iiwan, nay. Tapos biglang mabigat na yung music, di ba? Hindi ka, huwag ka magsalita ng ganyan. At yun, biglang nagyakapan at nag-iyakan ulit. At sige. Do you see the drama that is happening here? Tapos sa verse 11 to 13, mas naging firm si Naomi dito. And twice she urged him to turn back. As if sinasabi niya, Orpha, Ruth, bumalik na kayo mga iha. Umuwi na kayo. Wala akong mapapangakong magandang kinabukasan sa inyo sa Judah. It is a lost cause kung sasama kayo sa akin. Matanda na ako, wala nang mag-i-interest dito. Kung meron man mag-interest ngayong gabi at magkaroon ako ng anak na dalawang lalaki, mag-aantay ba kayo ng 17 to 18 years? Para pakasalan sila? Hindi. Anak, umuwi na kayo. May bata pa kayo. Do you see? Eh, anong sinabi dyan sa next verse? Nag-iyakan ulit. Iyakan ulit. Sa verse 14, lalong lumakas ang iyakan at hagulgulan. Diba? Ay, kasama na. Do you feel the tension? Kasi yung tanong, yung sinasabi ni Naomi is a crossroads para sa dalawang babaeng ito. It is a decision-making time. Shall I go or shall I return? They're caught in between of a crossroad. Kailangan nila magdesisyon. Now these are tears of people who love each other, whose lives are interwoven with each other, who has gone through hardships of grieving losses together. They are devoted to one another. Kaya ganun na lang ang iyakan nila. They're family. And so Naomi is releasing them from these hardships as an act of her kindness sa kanila. Let's talk about Orpha. Sometimes I hear sermons or people trying to explain the Bible kung gaano kasama si Orpha sa Bible. Actually, she's not. Okay? Si Orpha, nung pumanaw ang kanyang asawa, pwede na naman niya iiwan na ang kanyang mother-in-law. pwedeng-pwede na niya iiwan. Iiwan na niya si Naomi, bumalik sa kanyang pamilya at magpakasal ulit, pero hindi niya ginawa yun. She stayed with her kasama ni Ruth. She wept with her and offered to return with Naomi sa kanyang homeland. Naomi described itong support niya ito sa verse 8 as kindness. She considered it as kindness. In Naomi's despair, Orpha showed her kindness. But Orpha, in verse 14, considered Naomi's counsel as wise at saka convincing. And because of that, nag-decision siya, she kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and head back to Moab. Now, Orpha also became true sa kanyang pangalan. Ang ibig sabihin po ng Orpha, the back of the neck or batok. Okay? So bakit naging totoo to sa pangalan niya? Because she turns her head away from them, if you may, and head back to her homeland at ito na ang huling alaala nila kay Orpha. Ruth, let's talk about Ruth. Ruth's kindness. Naomi is kind looking out for the good ng kanyang mga manugan. Si Orpha naman is kind and supportive sa kanyang mother-in-law. But Ruth showed a greater type of kindness. Tingnan po natin ang verse 18. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Ano nangyayari po rito? Sa pakatlong pagkakataon, kinukumbinsi muli na matandang ito na pauwiin na itong babaeng ito. Ruth, umuwi ka na. So habulin mo na rin, natatanaw ko pa, oh, katakbuhin mo na. Return to your gods. Return to your people. Return to your way of life. What's interesting is yung ginawa ni Ruth dito sa verse 14. She clung or held fast, yung isang word doon. Ano ibig sabihin nito? It is the same word that was used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast, clung or cling to his wife. This is an expression of devotion, commitment, at saka loyalty. Yun ang ginawa niya. She decided to be loyal, committed, and devoted sa kanyang mother-in-law. And then in verse 16 to 17, she gave one of the most memorable, powerful, moving speeches sa Old Testament. Tingnan niyo po sa verse 16 to 17. She said, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Ruth showed a greater kindness. Kasi she is willing to give up the prospect of marriage, magkaroon ng anak, gave up convenience, prosperity, by living with her mother-in-law sa isang banyagang bansa na wala namang pinapangako na may kinabukasan siya. Willing siya maglakad ng 80.5 kilometers papuntang Judah. She is willing to embrace a people not her own. Hindi lamang niya ito pinangako, she also called God to judge her kung hindi masasakatuparan to. He called God to witness, to the witness. Kung hindi mangyayari ito, then sumpain ako ng Diyos. This kindness that was mentioned in verse 8 na pinakita ni Ruth is called hesed. Hesed. Napaka-importante ng word na ito sa buong Book of Ruth at sa buong Old Testament. Hesed speaks of God's covenant loyalty to His people. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng kindness or hesed sa context na ito. It is God's covenant loyalty to His people. It involves loyalty and grace extended even when it is not deserved. It's not deserved. This is the same hesed that Ruth extended to her mother-in-law. She is now committing herself sa kanyang mother-in-law. If you're here today, maybe somebody's saying, ay, yan ang gusto ko ng mga magiging manugang. Well, unfortunately, this story is not about how to have mabuting manugang. No, hindi po yun. These three women responded in kindness towards each other while they were in a dark, hopeless, depressing, and desperate situation. Mga kaibigan, how about you? How are you in the area of kindness? Ang totoo po niyan, it is easy for us to be kind towards each other when things go our way. Or when people who are kind to us in return. Madaling magpakita ng kindness eh. It is easy to be kind sa mga anak if they are showing kindness sa kanilang mga kapatid or sa mga magulang. It is easy to be kind sa ating mga asawa if they're speaking kind words sa atin. Madaling suklian. It is easy to be kind with our classmates and friends if they are treating us with respect and kindness. It is easy to be kind sa ating mga colleagues if they treat us with fairness. It is easy to be kind to people who are like us. Friends, do you have a tendency to be unkind to others when you are hurting, when you are suffering, or you are simply not in the mood? Ang dahilan ba kung bakit ka kind sa ibang tao ay dahil meron kang pinakikinabangan sa kanila? O kaya naman, meron kang kailangan sa kanya. Kaya you are showing kindness. Genuine kindness ay isa sa palatanda ng isang tunay na Kristiyano. Dahil ito ay produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Sabi sa Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness." Nung napansin ni Naomi na desidido at hindi na matitinag si Ruth ang kanyang desisyon na sumama, from here, ano kaya ang naging reaction ni Naomi? Tingnan niyo sa verse 18. Nung nakita niya, hindi na niya makumbinse. "And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more." Could the reason why she stopped speaking is because she was concerned sa welfare ni Ruth? Maare. Maare. Or could it be that she is ashamed to bring a Moabite woman sa country ng Judah? Sa region ng Judah? Because remember, pinagbabawal sa kanila na maikasal sa mga Moabites. And bringing home a Moabite daughter-in-law is shame. Is a big shame. It's already challenging enough na makita siya na wala siyang asawa at anak. But bringing a Moabite, could that be the reason bakit nila tinataboy siya? Naomi was not filled with gratitude. Hindi niya kinausap si Ruth at ang dahilan kasi, she is bitter. She is so bitter sa kanyang situation. Which is yung second sub-point natin. She was harboring bitterness. Look back to verse 13. Para makita natin yung puso niya. Ito ang nasa puso niya. "For it is this is Naomi speaking. It is exceedingly bitter to me for you, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone against me." See that word? Go to verses 20 to 21. "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought me calamity upon me. Naomi means pleasant. Nung nakita siya, marahil nung papasok na ang dalawang aling ito sa bayan ng Bethlehem, marahil, since maliit lang po yung komunidad, marahil namukaan siya ng mga kababata niya siguro doon, no? At tagbulungan, "Uy, Ika, eh, si Noemi ba yan?" "Hindi, parang tumanda." Marahil hindi ho siya nakilala dahil sa konsumido itong babaeng ito. Dahil po, ganyan ang itsura ng isang taong bitter. Hindi better. Marahil siguro yung 10 years of agony and displeasure and suffering paid off sa itsura niya. Tumanda, mukhang pagod, and a very bitter heart. Kaya nung narinig niya yon, na nabanggit ang kanyang pangalan, sinuway niya kaagad, "Huwag niyo ako tawagin, Noemi. Huwag niyo na akong tawagin na Naomi. Tawagin niyo akong Mara." At bakit ito sinabi yon? Wala kang marinig dito sa passage na ito kung hindi na ako'y in-afflict, ako'y pinaparusan, ako'y pinagkakaisahan ng Panginoon. Mabigat ang kamay ng Panginoon sa akin. The Lord has afflicted me. Pinagmamalupitan ako ng Panginoon. Now, this doesn't sound like a genuinely repentant heart. Sa lahat ng karebeldiya ng ginawa nilang pamilya, wala siyang nakikitang maling ginawa niya. Okay? Na hindi man niya naisip na maaaring she is a contributing factor kung bakit nagkakaganon ang buhay niya dahil sa karebeldehan niya. Pero hindi. Ano na, she was playing the victim. Tingnan niyo ako, kawawa naman ako. Ang dahilan kung bakit umuwi siya sa Juda ay hindi dahil nakita niya ang kanyang pagkakamali. Dahil hindi siya nag-repent, "Oh, tama, mali na nandito ako, nagsisindi." Dahil may pagkain, kaya siya umuwi. Yun ang dahilan. Wala siyang nakikitang mali. Wala. She was living a life of bitterness and hate. She is playing the victim. And friends, I know there are people in our lives who are plays this role as well. But the question is, ikaw ba yon? Pinalitan din niya ang kanyang pangalan, Tumara. Ano ba Mara? Pastor, alam ko lang, Mara Clara, yung palabas eh. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng Mara? Plano ko anak yung ipangalan yung bago naming aso, Mara. Pero ano ba ibig sabihin ng Mara? Okay, bago nyo ipangalan ng aso ninyo, ang Mara o pusa, ang ibig sabihin po ng Mara ay may pinanggalingan yan sa Exodus chapter 15. Okay? Pagkatapos, ang context nito is this, sa Exodus 15. Pagkatapos nakatawid sa Red Sea ang mga Israelita, syempre sila'y pagod na pagod. Ano man alam yun? Hinati ni Moses yung Red Sea and from there lahat sila tumawid at nailigtas sila sa mga Egyptians sa sumusugod sa kanila. So pumunta sila sa isang lugar, pagod na pagod, uhaw na uhaw, gutom na gutom, may nakita silang parang malasapa dyan na ano, at lahat sila uminom. Ang problema pag inom nila, yung tubig ay bitter. May bitter. So ang problema po, imbis magpasalamat sila na niligtas sila ng Panginoon, na binuhay sila ng Panginoon sa kanilang mga kaaway, ang ginawa po nila, they grumbled against God. At ang masakit pa rito, they complained and started doubting God. Pinagdudahan pa nila ang Panginoon kung kaya sila alagaan dahil sa tubig. So by calling herself Mara, which means bitter, ina-associate niya ang kanyang sarili sa mga Israelites na nagreklamo laban kay Yahweh. Ganong kabigat, ganong kabitter yung puso niya. So, mga kaibigan, anong pwede nating matutunan kay Naomi? Ito ang pwede ho natin matutunan. Na hindi lahat ng pinaplano natin sa buhay ay natutupad ayon sa ating inaakala. Well, Pastor, alam na namin yon. Pero pwede ko ba ulitin? Hindi lahat ng pinaplano natin sa ating buhay ay natutupad ayon sa ating inaakala. Maring nagtapos ka ng engineering sa Pilipinas, architecture, accountancy degree, even med school, Pumunta ka dito sa Dubai, naghanap ng trabaho sa iyong kinagulat, yung trabaho mo at ang sweldo na inaasahan mo ay hindi yung pinaghahandaan mo. O maring nandito kayo, nawalang ka ng trabaho, nawalang ka ng bahay sa Pilipinas, nawalang ka ng minamahal, naghiwalayan kayo ng mahal mo sa buhay, hindi natupad ang iyong pangarap, ilang taon na dito. Maaring sa ganitong edad, inaasahan mo may asawa at anak ka na. Maaring may asawa at anak ka na, pero hindi mo inaasahan ng ganito pala magkaasawa at anak. At hindi mo inaasahan na ganito pala ang maharap mong hamon sa buhay. Friends, the question is, how do you respond in these moments? Do you believe that God is sovereign? Do you believe that He is in control of your life? Do you believe that He is still actively involved in your life, regardless how dark it is? Or maybe, friends, natutukso ka na ngayong oras na ito na mag-respond pareho ni Naomi. You are tempted to respond with bitterness. Or maybe you are already bitter. Pastor, bitter na nga ako. Pumunta nga ako dito para maangat yung bitterness. Malalo ako na. Pakiram bitter to lalo. I don't feel better. I feel bitter lalo. Friends, be aware of a bitter heart. Be aware of a bitter heart. Minsan nakikita mo, kahit hindi mo natignan, ang puso hindi nakikita. Minsan ang nguso, nakikita natin kung bitter o hindi eh. Diba? Eh, Pastor, para kung ganito lang ang mukha, eh, ingatan natin maghusga. Friends, be aware. Bakit sabi sa Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, see to it that none of you fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it many become defiled. Kung tayo ay nagiging bitter in our circumstances, it can cause us to miss the grace of God in our lives. If nilalamon na tayo ng bitterness, nahihirapan natin, nahirapan tayo makita kung ano na ang ginagawa ng Panginoon sa buhay natin. Baka hindi na natin nakikita kung gaano kabuti ang Panginoon sa inyo. Gaano kabuti ang Panginoon sa mga anak ninyo. Gaano kabuti ng Panginoon na nilagay ka niya sa trabaho na yan. Gaano kabuti ng Panginoon na meron kang karamdaman na yan at na dahil may limitations ka, God has been preserving and protecting you. Hindi mo na nakikita dahil sa bitterness ang kamay ng Diyos na inaalagaan ka. Bitterness is blinding. We have to guard our hearts from bitterness. Hindi nakita ni Naomi ang kindness ng Panginoon sa buhay niya. Look back to verse 6. The Lord, tignan mo dito, ah? The Lord had visited His people and given them food. Di ba yun ang dahilan kung bakit siya pumunta ron? Hindi niya nakita yun. Pero galing to sa bibig niya. The Lord has visited the people and giving them food, which means God is already caring for His people. Hindi niya nakita yon. Punta ka sa verse 22. Ito ang mga kabutihan ng Panginoon na hindi niya nakikita. Verse 22, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Saktong pagdating nila, anihan. Kain kagad. Alam yung tipong, pag uwi mo, nakanda na yung pagkain ka, magsasando ka na lang. Parang ganun na nangyayari rito. Pero hindi niya nakita, mabigat ang kamay ng Panginoon sa akin. Malamang may mga taong ganyan sa pamilya mo, ano? Sa trabaho. O maring ikaw ba yon? Friends, be careful na mangalaga ng pusong may kapaitan. Nakakabulag ang bitterness. Dapat nating bantayan ang ating mga puso sa mga namumuong kapaitan na yan. Kasi pati ang mukha mo papait din. And that's the truth. Nag-iiba. Nga nakilala si Naomi, di ba? According kay Tim Keller, worry is not believing God will get it right. And bitterness is believing God got it wrong. Hindi, Lord, mali ka. Kaya ako nagkakaroon kasi, Lord, mali ka. Kung ano man nangyayari sa buhay mo ngayon, hinayaan ng Panginoon, inaprubahan ng Panginoon, sovereign ng Panginoon. So kung meron kang irereklamo, ireklamo mo sa Panginoon kasi He is the one who is sovereign over it. Mga kaibigan, when things go wrong in your life, do not respond to God with bitterness. Respond to Him with trust. Cling to Him. Sinabi Naomi sa verse 21, I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. Hindi totoo yan. Hindi totoo yung pinagsasabi ng babaeng to. Bakit? Kasi kasama niya si Ruth eh. Hindi siya empty. Kasama niya si Ruth. Kita mo kasama na niya, hindi pa niya nakita. Ganong kabiter ang puso nito. Ni hindi nga niya nabanggit si Naomi, si Ruth sa mga kausap niya. Now, bakit sumama? Now, ito na. Praise God sa buhay ni Ruth at meron tayong mga ganitong story. Ano? Now, bakit sumama sa kanya si Ruth samantalang hindi siya kabilang sa mga tao na ito, na wala naman siyang kapakinabangan pag pumunta siya rito, wala siyang assurance na magiging maganda ang buhay niya, pero sumama pa rin siya. Because Ruth chose to show hesed to Naomi. She is committing herself to Naomi, a covenant commitment, a covenant kindness, a covenant love. Kung saan ka pupunta ako, kung doon ka, sige, dyan ako. You know, friends, Ruth has shown the greater kindness. But Ruth only points to another person who also voluntarily left his home to become an alien in a foreign land. This land was hostile. Ruth points to the one who showed us what genuine kindness, genuine hesed is. He is Jesus Christ. Kanina binasa na ni Kuya Dexter ang Titus chapter 3 verse 3 to 8 that tells us that Jesus is the kindness of God who appeared to us from ours, who appeared to save us. He lived a life of faithfulness to God the Father. He died for our sins on the criminal's cross. Imbis na tayong namatay sa krus, siya ang namatay sa lugar natin upang bayaran ang kasalanan natin na nasa Kanya, na pinatong sa Kanya. This Jesus Christ, this is the kindness of God, friends, na He did not treat you as your sins deserve. Na dapat kamatayan, na dapat kaparusahan, na tayo ang mara, tayo ang bitter, tayo ang hindi nakakakita sa kabutihan ng Diyos. Yet, His hesed, His covenant love, kindness, loyalty, died for you. We are mara. Jesus died for you. Maganda lang ho dito, He did not remain dead. On the third day, muli siya nabuhay. Thus, giving us hope. Hope for those who do not deserve. Tayo po yan. Praise God. And this invitation is extended to you, friends. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian, or you're from a different religion, or you're just visiting in or checking us out. This is Christianity. Christianity that we believe the Bible teaches that you can have a relationship with God, hindi dahil sa good works mo, but kung hindi sa good work ni Christ on the cross. It is through Jesus Christ's forgiveness of your sins that you can make it right with God. So friend, repent from your sins. Pagsisihan mo na ang kasalanan mo at ilagay mo ang iyong pananampalataya kay Kristo at ginawa niya sa krus para sa kapatawaran ng kasalanan. Because of God's kindness to us by saving us through Christ, we now, friends, can show supernatural kindness. Kanina binabanggit ko, madaling maging kind sa mga tao na kung saan kind sa atin. Madaling maging kind sa mga tao na magaganda at maimpluensya at mabait. Pero napakahirap maging kind sa mga taong kaaway mo. sa mga taong pinagchichismisan ka, sa mga tao na kung saan sinisiraan ka. Hindi po ba? Sa mga taong tinulungan mo, tapos sila pa ang number one na tinataob ka. It's hard to be kind to these people, hindi ba? But if you have Christ in you, you now have supernatural kindness. You can now show kindness by loving your enemies. You, because of the kindness of God in us, we are now, hindi na natin babalikan o gagantihan yung mga tao na nakit sa atin. You now can express a kindness because Jesus Christ was kind to us. You see, the story of Ruth is not about the power of human relationships. Hindi ito power ng friendship or how to be a good daughter-in-law. Hindi po yun yung storya na ito. It points to us a much greater truth than this. It is about a loving God who loves His people. And it's about the person, that person who is greater than Ruth, who came to save us from our sins. Friends, hindi ko alam kung ano yung ginawa mo sa buhay mo. I know of people na kung saan, I remember back in the Philippines, may lumapit sa akin, and it was discouraged, and I asked him, Brad, ano yung problema mo? Pastor, meron lang ako confess eh, and started confessing his sins. And he wants me to pray for him para mapatawad ko siya. I think he's mistaken me from someone else. But I said, thank you for confessing, but these things only Jesus Christ can forgive. Kasi friends, no matter gaano kalaki ang kasalanan mo, Jesus paid it all. Sin has a tragic consequences. Totoo po yan. But God extends His kindness to the undeserving. It is true, His mercy is more. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. It is your goodness that you have called us to repentance. I pray, Father, na as we face difficult situations sa buhay namin, help us not to be mara. Help us not to be bitter, but help us to fight bitterness by trusting and clinging to you, knowing that you are a sovereign God who is in control. I pray also for our Crossroads Church, help us to minister to people who are discouraged and going through dark times. Help us to be like Naomi and Orpha and Ruth, who are devoted to one another. I think we have a much stronger bond sa tatlong aling ito because our bond is Christ. So I pray that you would open our eyes and ears to see and hear those who needed that you needed us to show your kindness sa kanila. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.